how do students respond? So when you're in the engineering classroom and bringing in what might be considered diversity or social justice content?
Nobody has responded poorly. Some, I think, maybe are more aware of that, and some are just trying to get the content and get the grade. Mm-hmm. But I'm hoping that it'll plant a seed, even if, you know, outwardly they're not more involved or more inquisitive about the context. And I don't know how much you include environmental issues in DSJ, but I try to include a lot of those in my classes as well. But also, the students are a big mix in engineering. We get a number of international students, we get a lot of local students, we get some just out of high school, we get some that have already worked for a number of years. We do get a pretty good ethnic mix here, and gender. We've had times when we had a fair number of women in the program. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, this is not one of those times. It just seems to sort of ebb and flow.
When it's not one of those times, what does that look like?
I think in a class that has been a good class in those terms, there would be maybe 30% women. And mm-hmm. in a class that's nowhere near good, it would be less than 10%. Mm-hmm. So I've been a little disheartened to see that the incoming class, from what I've seen, doesn't seem to include very many women. But engineering is a little bit of an odd discipline because we teach an introductory course when they're freshmen. And then I don't see them again until they're juniors. So I was talking about, I guess, sort of the diversity within our class. Mm-hmm. And so because we have that, we do get some students who are just very focused on their grade. You know, and as far as their interactions with me, it doesn't seem like they have concern or are much aware of anything other than that. And then we have others who are very social and very aware, very interested in maybe some of these more indirect ideas that I'm trying to put forth in addition to the technical content. So it's a pretty wide spectrum, but nobody's been opposed and saying, you know, why can't we study something else? But mm-hmm. I think a lot of them are focused on parts of it that are just the technical content, at least when they're in class trying to get a grade. And I'm hoping that upon reflection, some of them do remember some of these other contexts. And maybe when they're in their profession and needing to think creatively, they'll remember back to some of these ideas and say, you know, maybe we could apply this to this situation, even though it hasn't been done before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What about colleagues and at an institutional level? How does that go? How is the response?
Well, again, no one's complained or said anything that I hadn't been doing that. We're pretty autonomous here, and we teach classes that are pretty different. I teach that introductory course, and so do some other instructors. But virtually all the other courses I teach, I'm the only one who teaches them. So. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of interaction with me saying, oh, I have this great idea for this diversity or this project. When you teach it, you can do it, because it's not a reality in our department. I would if we had a really big department and people were offering, well, I don't know if a bigger department means that would happen. But anyway, if we had classes where multiple faculty taught and I was one of them, I would do more in that arena. As far as the introductory course, I do talk to the other faculty, teach it, and let them know what I'm doing. There's no authority to force others to do something. The academic profession is a lot of autonomy, and I think rightly so. People will teach based on their strengths, their expertise, and their experience, and that may not be the same as mine. So having said that, we do. It's a very well known issue that there aren't enough women in engineering, and has been for a number of years. So there is a club called Society of Women Engineers, and that is for anybody, but its focus is to support women in engineering. So we do have a chapter here. We have, of our industrial engineering faculty, there are four, three full-time teaching, and one is the chair who teaches a little bit. Two of them are women, so we have nice gender balance in our department, which is pretty rare for engineering. So anyway, we do have that in terms of institutional support for the students. I started a club, I guess it was just after I got back from my Fulbright, which is modeled after Engineers Without Borders. You know, Doctors Without Borders? Okay, so there's Engineers Without Borders is modeled after Doctors Without Borders. The club that I'm an advisor for is called EP3. It's Engineering for Planet, People, and Prosperity. And that's also a program by the EPA that solicits, I guess you could call them appropriate technology or alternative technology solutions, environmentally sound solutions, proposals in a very wide range. So we sort of stole their name and just rearranged some of the words. But anyway, so I'm running that, I'm advising that. It's a fledgling club. And there was, you know, enthusiasm with the founders, but it's been hard for the students to get newer students involved. And again, we have a lot of students who don't live on campus, and so, you know, extracurricular activities for them are not that easy. A lot of our students struggle quite a bit with the technical content of engineering, so again, they don't feel like they have much spare time for extracurricular. And then lastly, we have a lot of students who... the only way they can come to school is to work, and a number of them work full-time, a lot of them work part-time. Again, added time pressures when it comes to extracurriculars.